everybody. Welcome to a springtime episode of I Love This, You Should Too, a podcast with me, Samantha Hees, and him, Indy Randhawa.
Hello.
How are you, Indy?
I'm doing all right. I don't know why every time, I know when you start the episode, you're going to ask me how I am, and I never have an answer to it.
Usually you're like all doom and gloom.
Am I?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sometimes.
Well, a lot of doom and gloom out there.
I know. But today you were like appropriately springy and cheerful.
Boing.
What was that?
That was me being springy.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I'm realizing now that you mean the season.
Yes, I do.
I get it.
Not how like high you can bounce.
No, but if you're like, oh, you're happy and springy, like you're just kind of bouncing around, you know?
Physically springy.
That kind of makes sense. How are you? I mean, how springy are you? How bouncy are you?
I am environmentally springy right now, in that I am allergic to everything outside.
Right.
But other than that, I am good. And just happy that it's above zero most days. So, Indy, why are we here?
Well, I thought we were here because you're going to show me how you burlesque. How do you burlesque?
I get my ass up and I show you how I burlesque.
Oh, wow.
How do you burlesque? Isn't that how everyone burlesques?
I burlesque by apparently lip syncing to old songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a type of burlesque.
It's not, but today it is, because we are talking about the film Burlesque from 2010. This was Samantha's pick. It was a little bit different because she hadn't seen it, but picked it anyways.
Because I felt like I needed, like I should have seen this already. Like this is a movie that I should love.
And now you have. So we're going to ask you, oddly, for the first one. You thought you would love this. Did you, in fact, love burlesque?
No.
No, why not?
It was fun, but I have seen it twice now because we watched it while we were doing notes again. And I still feel like I don't understand what I just watched. And I don't remember large chunks of it.
Yeah, that's fair. I can tell you every scene, but if you ask me, like, well, what happened in the movie? Oh, I don't know.
No, exactly. Like, I feel like it's so confusing. I don't understand what was happening in the movie. What are air rights? We talked about that during the pre-episode, and
oh, that's one thing I do understand.
You don't
own the property above your house? Like, the air above your house?
No.
Oh, shit. Someone's gonna build a, I don't know, cell phone tower up there now. You have to own the air above all the houses around you. So then they can't build up.
Oh.
You'd think that's a municipal thing about how high you can build in certain places, but no, it's up to every individual person.
That seems disorganized and, like, crazy.
Much like the movie Burlesque.
Much like the movie Burlesque.
disorganized and crazy.
I'm not a huge fan of this movie. I think it's super fun, but I don't love it. Do you love it?
Clearly, I'm not going to say that I love this movie, but what I will say is for the movies that you've chosen that I didn't like, this is by far my favorite of those.
Okay.
If you're looking at your Bride Wars and your Leap Years and such, this is fantastic. Because it's terrible. It's a bad movie. It's poorly made. It's a garbage movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's bad in fun ways. It's not bad in ways that make me angry. And they're okay. Trying. Like,
yeah.
Leap Year, my biggest complaint was no one was trying to do anything. It was just kind of all middle of the road. They're going for something in this.
Yes.
True. What they're going for is modernizing cabaret and mixing it with Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're failing. But they're going for it.
Yes, exactly.
And I appreciate that.
You appreciate that they, like, actually tried something?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate anyone who tries. If you try and fail, you know what? At least you gave it the old burlesque try.
The old burlesque try.
I think before we get into anything, we have to talk about what is burlesque. Because they have 7 songs in this about burlesque. They all have the title burlesque. Because I think Cher's first song is Welcome to Burlesque. Then there's How Do You Burlesque? This Is How You Burlesque. Why not burlesque? Hey, look, it's burlesque. 6 pounds of burlesque. Show me how you burlesque. I think those are all the songs.
Yeah, so what is burlesque?
That's what I'm asking you.
I don't know.
What is it in your understanding before you saw this movie?
It's like a dance style. It's like a sexy tease dance.
I think that is a part of burlesque.
Okay.
Have you been to burlesque shows?
No.
I've been to a few. I had some friends who they did a lot of burlesque stuff, so I'd go go out there and watch. And then I did some photo for some of the some events. And if the dictionary were to be believed, if it could be trusted.
Yeah, can we even trust the dictionary?
It's an absurd or comically exaggerated imitation of something, especially in a literary or dramatic work, a parody.
Oh, okay.
So the burlesque shows I've seen do definitely involve the kind of like sexy dancing and not quite to what you'd see in strip clubs, although mm-hmm. I'm much more well-versed in burlesque than in strip clubs. But there's also, like, it's jokey and silly and yeah. fun and, like, vaudevillian. I saw a Darth Vader burlesque once. That was on Halloween, so, like, everyone had different costumes.
Right.
It was actually a burlesque show on Halloween, and then they were giving out an award for, like, okay, best costume in the audience, and they picked someone, and it was, like, full Darth Vader. I'm like, yeah, I guess that's pretty good. And then they went on, but the audience, didn't know they were part of the show.
Oh, so they were, like, actually.
Yeah, so then the Imperial March started, and they started, like, dancing around, and then they were, like, really good. I was like, wow, this is impressive. And then they started taking off articles of clothing.
Got it.
So that's burlesque.
Okay, so is this movie a parody of itself?
Unintentionally, yes. This movie was many things, but I don't think much of it, if any, was burlesque.
No.
Do you know what cabaret is?
Kind of. Is it like a show of like little acts and like singing?
It's entertainment held in a nightclub or a restaurant while the audience eats or drinks at tables. So what is this show more?
It's more cabaret.
It's absolutely cabaret. This is what cabaret is. But cabaret is already a very good musical.
Right.
So then they're like, okay, let's just redo cabaret, take out the Nazis, take out the original good songs,
yeah,
and we'll just call it burlesque.
Yeah.
I would bet so many burlesque people were so angry.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
What if there were no cheerleading movies to this point, and then one comes out and it's called Cheerleaders, and they all do ballet?
Yeah.
Wouldn't she be angry?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's definitely a misstep on the creator. They should have done more, like, actual burlesque things and less actual cabaret things. Or made it a cabaret club and called it something other than cabaret.
Christina's Cabaret.
Yeah, see? This could have been a better movie.
Oh, it could have been in many ways. Want to get into the plot of all this madness?
Sure. I think the best way to approach this movie or a movie like this that doesn't really have anything going on in it is to just kind of go step by step.
Sure.
So the opening scene is her in some town where she's a waitress and the boss is mean. And then she closes up the restaurant after lunch and sings a song.
And this is where my questions start.
Yes.
Because at this point, is she singing in that actual world? Because we see musicals where people just break into song.
Yeah.
And it's just normal because that's part of the world, but other people don't hear the songs. Right. That's just the conceit of a musical, is that that's normal, but other people can't understand it or hear it.
Right.
But in a musical like Cabaret, everything's happening on stage, and that's part of that world. At this point, what is this one?
I think she's that classic idea of like a small town girl who's too like talented to be stuck in her like dead-end job and sings just to make herself feel better. So I think she is singing in this world.
So if someone walked into that bar, would they be like, oh, she's just singing over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. That's how I took it anyway.
But then it's also confusing because you're cutting between four different things.
Yes.
Because she's singing on the little stage with a microphone in her Iowa small town.
Yeah.
But it's also cut between her on a bus going to L.A. Mm-hmm. and it has the people on stage at the burlesque club in L.A.
I think she's like dreaming of having like a stage show while she's singing. So that's like a dream.
So she predicted the future.
Yeah.
When she said, I've been dreaming of a place like this, she literally meant I had dreams of this particular club.
I guess so.
That actually makes it more interesting.
Like she's kind of omniscient.
Yeah.
I think the opening sequence tries to do too much, like, all at once. And her going to LA, moving into her apartment in LA, singing on the stage in her town, and also singing on stage in the burlesque club is like really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think at one point during that song, she's packing up her stuff at home too. So yeah. She's like in a fifth place.
And she's at that hotel hiding her money in the toilet.
Yes.
Which is a big thing that we need to pay attention to.
Is that, like, where people hide their money?
Apparently, because the thief who broke into her hotel room went right for the toilet.
Yeah, knew exactly where to go.
I wouldn't look in toilets, but now I'm going to start. When I take up robbing, because that's the next step in my career evolution, I'm going to start checking out the backs of people's toilets. Maybe it was a little nod to The Godfather.
Is that where he stored his money?
No, we'll see.
Oh, I know. I'll find out eventually. So this opening number, she sings a song and she then ends the song in LA.
Yes. And right off the beginning, we have the softest focus that ever was focused.
Yes.
Like everything in this movie looks like a 70s soap opera. It's so Vaseline'd up.
So she's in LA. She's in that like classic scene of like pretty girl gets to LA and then goes to all sorts of auditions. We don't get to see any of the auditions.
Does she go to auditions?
Yeah, she's on her newspaper. She's like crossing off want ads.
Oh shit, I didn't even pay attention to that.
Pretty female dancer and like.
So it's all dance stuff.
Singer for urban group and like.
Is it singing or dancing she's trying to do?
She's going to auditions for all of them.
Okay.
So she keeps crossing things off, and then she's tired, and she's walking around LA, and she stumbles into the burlesque club, which is actually a cabaret.
Yes.
It costs $20 to get into a club.
Well, they're putting on a pretty good show.
I guess, yeah.
I'd pay $20 for that.
Yeah, you're
right. I think that's worth it.
It's less of like a nightclub and more of like a dinner theater thing.
You get like a full 10 performances, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
I think so, yeah. Okay. Then.
And they have like huge set pieces, lights, full band some of the time. We'll get into that. I think it's $20 well spent.
I think so.
But we'll also get into this business because how are they sold out every night, like 7 nights a week?
Yeah.
Like every Wednesday, people are packing this burlesque club.
Yeah. Tuesday evening, 50 people in the club, full capacity. So Cher sings a song.
Oh, yeah. This is Welcome to Burlesque.
Yes. The opening number to the movie, pretty yeah. much. And does Cher always look like a drag queen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's like Cher's thing.
Always, like, the last 50 years, yes.
Okay.
That's why I think that's part of the reason why she is so often imitated by drag queens. It's like kind of half your work's done.
She's kind of already there. Yeah. Okay. I don't know like a whole bunch about Cher.
Well, she's mostly made of wax at this point. And that's why she's always shot as if she were illuminated like a person in a movie theater looking at their cell phone. She just has like a soft glow right underneath her.
Right. Yeah. To make her look more lifelike and less animatronic?
Yes.
Okay. I hope that we become famous in our podcast because we bashed Cher and her people come after us.
Oh, we are no pioneers in this. I feel like if you listen to anything that talks about Cher, this is what you're going to hear.
Okay.
Cher, though, did have very good music at one point.
I really liked that song, Do You Believe in Love, or whatever it's called.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I like that song.
Is this a joke?
No, I like that song.
That was the first song ever.
I liked it.
That's the one where she's like the robot?
Yeah, and she's like so auto-tuned. Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh. I was thinking like in the 60s she had some good stuff.
Oh, I don't know any of her music from the 60s. That's the only Cher song I know.
There was this episode of The X-Files where it's all Cher music, and that got me into like, oh, was Cher actually good at some point? Because my entire life she's been a joke.
Right. But she was like Sunny and Cher?
Yeah, there was Sunny and
people?
Cher. Yes.
Okay.
That was her husband at the time.
Was she like a real person then?
Yeah. All natural parts of her body, to my knowledge. I don't know.
Oh, she was pretty. Yeah, she was pretty. I like her. Huh. Okay. I had no idea.
She's like 140, so we have to give her a break for like looking how she does, because it's quite impressive for that age.
She's 74, but...
So she was over 60 when this movie was made, correct?
Yeah.
So she's looking good? Question mark? I would rather see someone look very elderly than see someone look... like a silicon mask stretched over a robot skull.
I prefer my actresses to age like Helen Mirren, as opposed to someone like Cher.
But I'm also not going to blame Cher too much, because most people that age naturally, females especially, they are not allowed to be in movies anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
So I can't blame Cher too much.
True.
But while we're just talking about Cher... when I was teaching English abroad, I would tell my students, like... don't be too upset, like, if your stuff isn't coming perfectly, your English isn't great, because, like, look at this. And I'd show them tweets from Cher.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, she's a famous English-speaking musician, question mark, and this is what she sounds like. And she makes no sense. So I'm going to read you a couple of Cher tweets right now.
Perfect.
Don't remember, but think I forgot to tell about man with a gun. Not now. That's the tweet. This one is just, Lek is, I don't know what that means. This one is just the word later with some sunglasses. Sunglasses emoji.
I like it. She's brief.
Rough one, but true. No, no link or anything with that. That's just...
No picture?
England. That's all. I'll try to read this one like a beat poet, maybe, because it doesn't make sense. And if I mispronounce something, that's just because that's how she spelt it. We know there are different degree, suffering, loss caused by COVID. Death is all unbearable. Forms fear, hunger, homelessness, no work. Kids without school, parents stressed. Stress is all caps. Out. Family biz built over. Jen's gone. Brave people who saved. And then there's an emoji of a money bag. Start a biz gone. It's time to rethink. Reboot pride.
Hmm.
Deep.
What do people do? They snap. Good performance.
Thank you. But let's get back to... She's in this club.
So she's in the club.
She meets this bartender who she makes fun of for being gay and wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
Instant. There's a lot in this movie where Christina Aguilera makes fun of gay people. But mm-hmm. she is in a... cabaret burlesque theater setting.
Yeah.
Even just to not be like a dick, because like why make fun of them at all? But like you got to know that most of the men there's a good percentage of gay.
Yeah. And that like people are generally pretty okay with gay people in the theater.
But it's not even though she's like saying it about someone who she thinks she's gay is gay to someone she thinks is straight. She's saying it to someone like, you're gay. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, look at that guy over there. He wants a Cosmo. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Like, why why are you judging people? Maybe he just really likes the flavor of Cosmos.
And it's also the strangest thing to think, like, hey, I like a beer, so I like breasts.
Yeah.
I like something pink, so I like penises. Why would those have anything to do with
each other? No, that has nothing to do with it. It's like saying, like, you can only like sports if you drink beer.
Okay, deal.
You yes. can only like theater if you drink wine.
I don't like wine.
And you can only like flashy, fancy dance shows if you drink hard liquor.
What kind of hard liquor?
Cosmos.
I could be up for that. I don't think I like a Cosmo.
No, they're kind of like one step down from martinis. They're like all alcohol.
I like fruity drinks.
Me too.
I either like strong beers or if I'm going cocktail, it has to be very fruity.
Right, yeah. Okay, so, but like I just think that's like so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Most venues serve multiple drinks for a reason.
So she makes fun of him for having eyeliner, and then Extina goes and meets Cher and says, like, can I have a job? And she's like, no, I hate you. You're what's wrong. I hate everything about you. Get out of my sight. How dare you be in my mirror? And then Christina Aguilera just starts waiting tables.
Yeah.
And that's how she gets her job.
Yeah, because apparently you can just, like, force yourself upon employers and they have to employ you.
I think that's how it works.
Oh.
If you just serve a table, they have to pay you now.
Yeah, apparently. Because we both said, like, during while we were watching the movie, that it makes no sense how she expects to get paid. Because usually there's some, like, intake paperwork for getting a job.
Also, Jack, this bartender, has business cards. What do you think his business card says on it?
Bartender.
Will wear eyeliner for money.
Jack, bartender, not gay.
Jack, bartender, but I secretly write music and want to be a musician, but that only comes up in the third act and very briefly.
So Cher's husband, ex-husband?
Peter Gallagher, yeah.
Sandy Cohen.
Yeah.
I only know him from the OC. But yeah, so Sandy Cohen shows up. Apparently he used to be Mr. Tess. They used to be married, but he still owns half the club. And Cher says the line, no business during business hours.
I don't know. Do we want to get into the business of this club now?
Sure.
Because I have a lot to say about how this club is run.
Go ahead.
Cher is conceivably the villain of this movie. She's the reason for all of the problems. At one point, she is making paper airplanes and Stanley Tucci... Oh, yeah, Tucci's in this, and he's playing... You've seen Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
He's playing the same character, right?
Basically, maybe a little bit less gay.
In this one or in that one?
In this one.
This is less gay?
Yeah. Oh. He's very flamboyant and, like, catty in Devil Wears Prada, whereas he's a little bit more toned down in this.
In this one, he's like, what's Allie short for?
Alice?
Well, Alice, welcome to Wonderland.
Yeah. He's more quippy and less flamboyant in this one.
Okay. But he's still always, like, shuffling through racks of clothing in both of them. But she throws an airplane to him, and he's like, what's this? And she's like, that's my mortgage. I don't understand any of what it says. that's your first problem. And then she says, no talking business during business hours. She's so bad at her job. The day before her club is about to close forever, the guy who wants to buy in says, I'm doubling my offer.
Yeah. So $2 million.
Her old offer was great.
Yeah.
And everyone would be able to walk away with a profit. And she wouldn't lose it for nothing, which is going to happen. Then the guy says, I double my offer. Not 10% more. I'm doubling the whole fucking thing. And she says, no, fuck you. How dare you? Why? Take the fucking money. You could take that money, start a new club very easily.
Go buy more
and
land.
And you wouldn't have your ex-husband's money all tied up in it, too.
Exactly. You can get Mr. Tess out of there.
Yeah.
Sandy Cohen has to go back to his family in the OC.
Poor Sandy Cohen in this movie. He's playing, like, if there's a comic book where there's a used car manager and he's just, like, all disheveled and he has, like, the tie real loose and his hair is all messy. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, what am I going to do? That's who Gallagher's playing in this one.
And he's, like, I feel bad for him because he's, like, was in love with Tess at one point. They were probably happy for a little bit. They bought this club together. And then ever since then, his life has just been downhill.
Because of her, she's terrible.
She is.
Her defining characteristic is she won't listen to people. Mm-hmm. If someone's saying, like, hey, Cher, watch out, there's a bus coming, she'll be like, no, I don't want to hear it. And you'll just like, no, there's a bus right behind you. It's coming real fast. Just turn around. No, I don't want to hear any of this. She's like every parent in children's movies when they're like, no, Mom, I saw E.T. He's in the closet right now. Sure he is, Timmy. Like, it's all of that. And she just refuses to listen to anyone. And that's also, like, I don't want to get too much on being mean to this movie seriously, because that's less fun, but that's just, like, lazy writing about how can we not have this character know certain things? Just make her not listen.
Yeah. Yeah, and she just, like, yells. She yells over everybody. Nobody can ever get a word in edgewise. It's absolutely ridiculous how you could run a business like that and have employees. The employees are like, Tess, we need this, or Tess, this is what's happening. And she's like, no. Don't care. Busy going to drink tequila in my office.
Yeah, later on in the movie, Aguilera comes up and says, I know how we can save the business, which is closing, like, at midnight that night. Yeah. And they're like, I have the solution right here. And she's like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't know why you think I'd want to hear that. Because it's, like, your life's passion that you
keep
claiming?
It's, like, one last chance. The 11th hour. We're going to, like, save the business.
Yeah. Haven't you seen a movie before?
Apparently she hasn't. She's too busy drinking tequila in her office.
And then the bad guy of this movie like, the bad things he does is make very generous offers to buy businesses.
Yeah, Marcus Gerber is, like, portrayed as a dick the entire movie when all he's doing is trying to, like...
His job. He's just doing his job.
He's trying
to... He's a real estate developer.
Yeah, he's trying to buy the land, which apparently is very...
And he's not trying to trick them or anything.
No.
He's making them a very generous offer. In fact, he'll be able to buy it from the bank for cheaper if he just waits a week.
Exactly.
But he's like, you know what? I'm giving the money to you. I love this club. I come here every day.
Every day.
Because all millionaires come to run down burlesque clubs. Although it looks great, but we're meant to believe it's
run down.
Yeah,
it's
and they exclusively date burlesque dancers.
Yeah.
But he's the bad guy. I think Cher's the bad guy. She's terrible at everything.
Yeah, I definitely think Marcus, like, maybe doesn't have the best intentions when it comes to Christina.
What do you think his intentions are?
I don't know. He seems just kind of like he's using her or, like it doesn't...
Using her for what?
For sex.
But you could argue that the relationship she actually has later is much more of that than his was.
Yeah, you're
because,
probably right.
Because Gerber, whatever his name is... There's no indication that they actually have sex.
No.
He just drives her home, takes her to parties, and is just, like, gives her lots of stuff.
Yeah, true. You're right. He's like a sugar daddy.
Yeah. But he's not, like, demanding anything in return.
True.
And then when she finds out his plans to build something on the burlesque club, he's like, yeah, that's my job. Why are you shocked
that's
by this?
That's what I do for a living.
This movie's so bad. It has me on the side of a real estate developer. And those are my natural enemies.
Indy's natural enemies.
They're capitalists.
They're capitalists, yeah. Yes.
Wow. Okay, so we're into the first 15 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, basically.
Let's speed it up. So then her place gets robbed, so she has to go move in, including her toilet. Her toilet gets robbed. So yes, she has to move in with
when
this.
When my toilet gets robbed.
I'd kind of like it because it just makes it sound like someone's cleaning it.
Oh, true, true.
Unless they took all the water. But there's more of that. That's easy to find.
True. It's kind of hooked up so that the water just continuously happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to describe a toilet. It's like a bowl in your bathroom where water
continuously
happens.
Yeah. So she moves in with this bartender because she's met him like 3 times.
Yeah. Also, how does she know where his house is?
Who knows? How did she get there? Doesn't matter. You know what question I have for you? From the first scene of this movie to the last, how long has this been in their world?
Because
if you told me 4 days, I'd be like, yeah, that's about right.
First scene to the last,
if you told
to the end
me
of the movie?
6 months, I'd say, yeah, that's about right.
So Georgia has her baby.
What?
And then comes back and dances.
This is like a year?
Yeah.
You're a fucking kid. There's no way
this
is over 3 weeks.
No, she has her baby. She's like
what
really
are they doing?
Pregnant at the wedding. Remember?
What are they doing all this time?
I don't know. She's like really pregnant at the wedding. She's wearing a little mini dress and she has a big belly.
So they've had a year to make this money.
And then like in the final number, she's back in her teeny tiny little dance
costume.
No,
you're absolutely right. That makes absolutely no sense.
No, I don't know how they could make
this. I'm sure some
business.
Of you listening have watched this movie. It's on Netflix. It's on our little drive, so you should definitely watch it. It's at least a fun movie.
Yeah.
Nobody would guess that this takes place over a year. That's utter madness.
Yeah.
Everything they do, every performance, is the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah, we never see, like, repeats of numbers.
Well, they have completely new numbers every week.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah, and they... choreograph, rehearse, and perfect a full show with Christina singing.
Overnight.
Overnight.
And costumes.
They're like, hey, show up tomorrow
because Cher
morning.
Uses her glue gun to make all the costumes.
That amount of, like, heavy dancing and glue gun would not work properly. Take it from someone who used to dance.
Okay, so let's go back now.
Okay, sorry.
So then she gets a chance to audition to be a singer.
Yes.
And she... Or to be a dancer.
To be a dancer, not a singer, because they don't come to see them sing.
Right. Cher makes a point of saying, nobody is here for singing. Mm-hmm. They're here for dancing and lip syncing to pre-recorded music. What was the first thing we saw at this club?
Cher singing.
Yeah.
Cher's the only one who gets to sing. What's her name? Kathy?
B? Tess.
Tess, that's what it is. Kathy.
B. So Cher sings, and she sets this up as a place where you sing, but is emphatic on there is no singing. And we don't get any singing after that one song for quite some time.
Right, yes.
Everyone just lip syncs to, like, a lot of, like, fun old songs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, vaudeville-esque in some ways. It's definitely cabaret. It's a lip sync cabaret is what it is.
Cabaret. I haven't actually seen cabaret.
You haven't seen cabaret?
No.
Wait.
I've seen the Schitt's Creek episode where they do
cabaret. We are watching burlesque.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen cabaret.
Correct.
Whoa. That's like if I said, oh, you know what I should watch? Let's watch Bring It On 8. And then I bring it up and we watch it and I was like, oh, this is junk. I wonder what this is based on.
No, like, I don't know.
Cabaret's good.
Okay.
Like, if you actually see the musical, it's amazing. They change a lot for the movie, so it's not as good, but it's still, like, the songs are still there, and it's still great. It's Liza Minnelli, it's, you got Joel Grey, it's very good.
Okay.
I own Cabaret. Do you want to just go watch Cabaret?
Yeah, let's just press pause on this and go watch Cabaret. Cabaret is probably much better.
Yeah. What was I talking about when we... This is going to be a fun episode.
Oh, God. It's kind of like the movie in that I have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, the audition.
Right. Okay,
so she auditions to be a dancer. She dances for, without exaggeration, 4 to 6 seconds.
And most of that is her just, like, touching herself, like, all over.
You're doing it now, but they can't see that. It's very good.
Thank you. Do I get hired?
No, because she says, Cher yells at her. Right. Says, that was garbage. How dare you? Why are you bringing that in here? So then Allie says, well, just tell me what you want. What do you want me to do up here? And Cher yells at her.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what I want. No one can tell you what they want. Which doesn't make any sense.
People do that every day.
Yeah, and also for an audition, you should tell them what you want.
Yeah.
And then she says, oh, I could do the acts in... the burlesque show. And
I can do every single one.
Oh, okay, do that then. Why wouldn't she just do that?
Yeah, and then
you're auditioning,
like,
for that thing. Do that thing.
She's like, you know every routine. Fine, do this one.
Yeah, and then she does it. Although it doesn't look much better than what she was doing before.
No, so the girls before who were auditioning when Allie walks in are doing, like, this really incredible can-can routine where they're jumping, like, 6 feet in the air and, like, doing all sorts of, like actual choreography, and then Christina Aguilera does, like, this thing that's really just a lot of touching herself again.
Yeah.
And hair flips.
Wig flips.
Wig flips, yes. But yeah, the other girls were doing these, like, crazy, incredible, like, can-can jumps, and she just touches herself a lot.
But then everyone is like, wow, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Except for, what's her name? Veronica Mars is like, fuck her. Nikki. I hate her because I'm the bad one.
Yeah.
And she really leans into that hard. She's good. We've seen
Kristen Bell
in lots of things. And she's talented, yes?
She's Anna from Frozen.
Oh, you mean Anna? I was about to call her Anna, but then I thought not everyone know who I meant. So I said Veronica Mars.
Oh, okay.
She is good and stuff.
Yeah.
She is so bad at
this. She's so bad.
She, like, just swings for the fences. And I guess I can kind of appreciate that. I think she kind of knows what kind of movie this is.
Yeah.
And she's, like, one step short of having a big mustache and twirling. And she's very bad in there.
True.
But then everyone's like, okay, yep, she's in. Also, I don't know why Cher is so against Alice. She hates her. But then she instantly switches. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're in. Doesn't make any sense. But I guess that's drama.
I guess, like... Christina Aguilera just wears her down to the point where she's like, fine, oh my God.
That's true. That actually happened.
Shut up and go away.
But this leads into maybe my favorite scene in the whole movie, because now Allie's part of the group and they're all dancing. And presumably this club, when do you think they finish at the end of the night?
Like 4 in the morning?
I was thinking maybe it was like 2, like last call kind of time.
Like, okay, so what part of the movie you're talking about? Because I feel like they hang around at the club for a long time too.
Right. So maybe the show ends at
2?
Sure. I was going to say maybe even the show ends at 10 or 12, but it's late whenever they get out.
Yeah.
It's after midnight for sure. And they all are going like, let's go get pizza, but they don't invite Allie, so she's sad. And she sits there after being in full makeup and several wigs at probably 3, 4 in the morning and starts putting on makeup.
Yeah. And then Cher comes and helps her.
And says, like, oh, you've never put on makeup before, have you? And she's like, no, I never learned. My mom died. Also, she's been wearing a lot of makeup this entire time.
Yeah, the entire movie, she's, like, fully made up.
So then Cher says, oh, let me teach you. And takes her, and it's like a mother-daughter moment. And Cher does her makeup. And Christina Aguilera looks at herself. She looks fucking terrible now.
She has
like terrible makeup on.
So much makeup on.
She has like Cher makeup. So it's like really high cheekbones that are just like all blushed out.
Yeah. And she's really glittery.
And she looks and says, wow, I'm beautiful. And she looks the worst she's looked in the entire movie.
Yes. Yeah. She has way too much makeup on. It's like she looks tired because she's been dancing all night.
Why are you putting on makeup at 4 a.m?
No. This is the point of the night where you throw your hair in a bun and like put your hoodie on and go home.
But this does have my very favorite line in the entire movie, too.
Which is?
And Cher says, when you're putting on makeup, it's like you're painting. But instead of a canvas, you're painting your face.
But that's not prolific.
It's like that. That's what it is.
That's literally what you're doing, Cher.
Oh, the writing in this is so good.
You always put on more makeup after you finish a show, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely feel like putting makeup on after dancing for 3 hours.
Well, she was just trying to learn because she's never worn makeup before.
Okay, but like makeup.
Except for every other second of this movie.
Makeup isn't a secret. It's not like.
Her mom died.
Okay, but she's like. Lives in the world.
Her mom is dead.
She lives in the world. She's seen people's faces before.
She's never even tried before.
Why?
Except for in every scene where she's wearing lots and lots of makeup.
It's not a secret. They don't keep the, like, makeup rules.
She has professionally done makeup in every other scene.
Yes, yes. So
every scene except this one about makeup.
So we're supposed to believe that she's just going to the mall every morning to get her makeup done at the makeup counter?
I imagine her in small town Iowa going to get her makeup done at the JCPenney or whatever.
Maybe the Avon lady comes over and does her makeup
every day. That's why she's broke.
No, but then you would learn.
No, she gets it done every day. That's why she's so broke.
No, but you'd learn how to do it by watching someone else.
Her mother is dead.
Okay. Sorry.
She needs a maternal figure that could only be Cher. She needs the warm, waxy touch of Cher's corpse.
Okay. I'll drop it. I'm done.
Her mother is dead, Samantha.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that meant that you just stopped learning things.
It does. It clearly does.
Then she shouldn't have learned to dance.
No, that she can just figure out. And same with singing. She just does that naturally.
My favorite line in the movie is when Cher's like, do you think she sings like that because she had it easy?
Oh, yeah. You can tell she's been through stuff because she starts all of her songs with going.
The face you make when you do that looks painful.
It sounds painful. It does.
She also, like, when she really goes for it, she, like, crumples herself into a ball a little bit.
I think you have to.
Oh, yikes.
I think I feel about Christina Aguilera singing as you often do when I listen to certain types of like heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, I get that you can do that on a guitar. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
True.
Because I'm like, no, but it's so impressive. It's so intricate. I was like, yeah, but that doesn't make it sound good.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about her singing. Okay. I was like, oh, that's impressive. I see that range.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Why though? It's like you're doing scales. Like, I don't care.
It's true.
It doesn't sound good to me. But that's kind of her thing. She just likes to
really
shock everyone.
Belt it out.
Because then you're like, oh, she can sing.
And just sing the song.
Why didn't you tell me you could sing? I told you constantly. You don't listen to anyone.
Yeah. What if we sing the songs?
Well, let's get into that. I think that happens next, the big sabotage scene.
So, the big scene where Christina saves the day. The sabotage scene. What happens?
So Veronica Mars gets sent home because she had a drink. Although there are scenes in this movie where a server comes in and gives all the dancers their drinks.
Yes.
They all are drinking throughout the day.
And in like the first scene backstage in the club, Nikki's like, bring me a martini with 3 olives.
It's a lot of olives.
It is a lot of olives.
But anyway, she has a drink when she's not supposed to, but everyone else already has one. Whatever. So she gets sent home, and we're going to put Christina Aguilera in your place. That'll show you. But Veronica Mars doesn't want to do that.
So she runs to the sound booth, pulls out some random cords, which happens to, like, shut off some of the lights and also, like, unplugs the music and the mics.
Because they're all lip-syncing. Not mics, because the mics don't do anything.
Right.
They're not attached
to
anything.
They're just for show.
All the lip-syncing is done with microphones.
Yes.
Which is odd, but whatever.
And none of the singing is done with microphones.
That's what I was going to say for later, but...
Okay, so then Christina starts to sing. She's wearing this weird bondage leather outfit.
Oh, she's a leather daddy. She has, like, the cop hat and stuff.
Oh, okay. Was it...
Okay. No, go on. I want to hear what the question was going to be because it sounds like it's going to be fun.
I feel like I'm learning so much because you told me leather daddy and then also you explained to me what an otter was.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know about bears and twinks and otters. And
I knew what a bear was.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's for a different podcast.
True. Let's remember my parents listen to this.
That's just a thing. That exists in the world. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so Christina saves the day by singing in her leather daddy outfit.
Also, your parents listened to... I feel like there's other things I should have censored way more than the existence of, like, subtypes in gay culture.
Very true.
Well, too late now.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Moms.
So she starts to belt out this song. They've never practiced it.
How does she do that? Can you give us an example?
She goes,
ah! That was pretty good. Yeah. You had to start like a dog growl.
Yeah, it's like. And then she's like breaks out into this song and suddenly the backup dancer or like the other girls who are on stage with her become her backup dancers and can also sing.
Backup singers, yeah.
And then the band just starts playing.
Yeah, there was a band on stage this entire time. But they just listen to the music. There's a club with like a 12-piece band on stage, yeah. But the band does not play.
Exactly.
They're just there to... Do they mime it?
I think they might play in between songs.
True. That's
like when the drinks are just happening and people are talking and stuff. Like when there's not a performance going on, I think they might play like jazz or something.
You know a good time for a band to play their musical performance? During musical performances.
Yeah. And somehow the band just knows all of the numbers.
Yeah.
Like they just, this 12-piece band knows how to play every song.
Despite the songs changing daily.
Exactly. Every song that they play a CD for, they know how to play it. So then like, why aren't they?
Yeah, why aren't they playing everything?
Exactly.
But that's the whole thing about this entire movie and the entire premise of this club. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because after Cher hears Christina Aguilera sing, she's like, all right, we're building the entire show around her. It's going to be a singing show now. You have a group of singers already, and you have a band on stage.
Yeah. No wonder this club is going out of business.
Exactly. She's so bad at her job.
She's paying multi-talented dancers and singers just to do one thing. She's paying a band to sit there and play for like 4 minutes at a time.
Yeah. And then she has to hire a DJ as well because they're playing everything off of CDs.
Exactly.
CDs that are just labeled vocals. So it sounds like they're actually playing two CDs, one with the instruments and one with the vocal track.
Yeah.
You have a band there. You have singers there. What do we know? She just sits up there in her terrifying office that looks like some sort of opium den.
It looks so flammable. That's all I could think of was like if she dropped like a cigarette or something.
Oh, Cher can't be anywhere near an open flame. She would burst into flames.
Or she'd melt.
Yeah. The reason she doesn't have the big stage lighting of everyone else, like you'd think that it's, oh, she's aged and she doesn't want to like be that exposed. It's because she will melt.
She can't be around that much heat.
No.
Stage lights are very hot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She just sits up there in her Cher lair, just all dark and being like a dragon.
Also, you can't put any more makeup on her.
Like, I think she just always... is makeup.
She's always wearing stage makeup. So, like, you know how you wear a little bit more makeup or, like, slightly darker makeup for when you're on stage?
I do know.
She's already in that makeup.
She's nowhere to go.
No, you can't put darker, more makeup, or else you're going to change her ethnicity. Which is what?
Cher's?
Yeah.
I don't know, she's like a Madame Tussaud wax doll, I think.
Oh, so her ethnicity is Madame Tussaud. Okay. So her office is like cushioned walls with like drapey black lace and...
lots of red lace as well.
Lots of red lace.
And by office, you mean Cher Lair.
Cher Lair. Yeah. I like that. We've coined it now. And she's got like pillows and couches and little bits of glitter everywhere. And like the only like source of light seems to be the door.
It's like if in 1940s Germany, like in Cabaret, they were doing a theme party about a Turkish opium den.
Yeah.
It's like a blend of those two worlds.
Yes. I've been to clubs like that and it's not...
You've been to a lot of Turkish opium dens. Huh. Interesting.
No, I have not been to a lot of Turkish opium dens.
Your mom's listening about how you went to Turkish opium dens.
I didn't. Mom, I didn't.
Although I said made reference to Chasing the Dragon today, and you're like, what does that mean? So I don't think you've been to many opium dens.
No.
You don't know? You never danced with Sweet Lady H?
I don't know what that means.
I think I just watched a lot of movies. People probably think like, oh, indie's worldly. No, I'm not. I just watch a lot of movies.
I often ask you and be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
But then you'll hear something on a movie and you ask me what it means. And I was like, I can't say those words. I know what it means, but I'm not telling you.
You Google it.
And then I make you Google it. And then you read it and you go, indie. Like I had done the thing.
Yeah, because you made me Google it. Now my phone's all like,
well, I didn't want to tell you what it meant.
I only browse in incognito mode now.
That's probably for the best.
Because I'm worried that someone's going to see all my search history.
So then they've remade their club. Now it's a Christina Aguilera pop music show.
Yes.
They have dropped all pretense of anything being remotely cabaret-like. I don't know a lot of Christina Aguilera, but I feel like this is just her style of music after this.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Like heavy backup dancer.
I just know that one. What is it? Put me in your genie bottle. I'm a genie for you. Is that how it goes?
No.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
No.
Nailed it. So then in the world of the movie, she's not lip syncing. She's singing for the first time that they're doing like live performances. But of course, this is a movie that we're watching. So, and it's not being recorded live, the audio that is. So she is lip syncing to her own vocal track.
Yeah.
And in the live music parts, so the live singing parts, the lip syncing seems worse than it was in the lip sync parts.
Exactly.
So it's very confusing for us as an audience because we're like, wait, is she still lip syncing? But we know she is, in fact, a very talented singer. Why would she be lip syncing? But it's just she's doing a bad job of lip syncing to her own stuff.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't really sound like her when she sings that first song, But I'm a Good Girl.
Right.
It doesn't sound like her.
No.
Because like, I've heard quite a bit of her music because I grew up in the I was a teenager in Christina Aguilera time.
You were a Chris teenager?
Yes.
An ex-teenager?
No, Chris teenager. And so, like, I know what her voice sounds like. This doesn't sound like her. Also, she's doing a really bad job of lip syncing, which made me kind of angry.
Well, I think that was the first one. So she's still trying to have some sort of semblance of what this cabaret club was, of, like being old timey. But then they dropped that because it starts getting into her original stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So I was very bothered by how bad the lip syncing was in the second half of the movie.
And then... exactly parallel to that is her hair because they make a point of saying like, oh, for this number, you can wear a wig.
She's been wearing
20 wigs.
She has spent all of her money ever on wigs because she has bangs, no bangs, wispy bangs, super thick bangs.
That's, you know what? That's it. That's why this club's doing so poorly, even though they're sold out all the
time.
Their
wig budget.
Their wig budget, their costumes, they have 10 new numbers every day.
Yeah.
I don't know when they were. They don't rehearse, though.
No.
No rehearsals. They're just all super talented that they can write stuff that morning and then have a show that evening.
For a show like that, you'd have to be rehearsing like 5 hours every day.
Oh, this is like 3 weeks of rehearsal for each one, at minimum, I'd say.
Yeah, and everyone...
I'd say probably more because of all the live band, all the costuming. Yeah.
And everyone can sub in.
30 people on stage at a time.
Yeah, and everyone can sub in for everybody
else.
Everyone
can do everything, yeah.
It's like, oh, go in for Nikki. And like suddenly this girl knows like the whole number. Yeah.
They must have a cast of like 60 people.
They must.
Because there's usually 20 plus on stage at one time.
Yes.
And they can't be doing all of them.
You can't, because like, usually for like dance shows, it'll be like the like main group goes on and then the secondary group goes on while the main group changes for the next number and then they switch. And then the secondary group changes and then they go on while the other group. So it's not like all 10 girls are doing all 10 numbers throughout the night.
Plus, their backstage only fits maybe 7 people. I don't know where all these other people are getting ready.
Yeah. And then there's like that circus moment with, what's his name? The one that's all about like oral sex.
Oh, the Alan Cumming
one. Yes.
Oh, okay. So if I wasn't sad already, Alan Cumming, who is incredibly talented, just an amazing actor, and I think must have won a Tony for his revival of Cabaret in the late 90s. And that's how I discovered Cabaret. And how I really got into musical theater was because of Alan Cumming. He's that good. I'd seen him on, I think he was on like Letterman when I was 12. Because I loved Letterman when I was 12 and still holds up. But anyways, I saw him and I was like, this is amazing. And I started listening to Cabaret and I got to see it. And it was because of how good he was. And then they put him in this. I assume as like a little tip of the hat of like, hey, remember him? He was in Cabaret. Cabaret was good. But this was real bad. So first they have him being the ticket taker.
Yes.
And then he also is doing a performance. And it's just him kind of dancing around with these two women. And there's this part. Do you want to describe it or shall I?
You describe.
Because when I describe something that I didn't do, you always go, Indy, like I have done it.
No.
So he's like dancing around. And at this one point, he just puts his face in this woman's crotch, smells her and goes, hello. Just hands it up like right into the camera. Hello. And then the audience, they love it. We have a shot of this guy doing a spit take. They're like, ah, yeah, because women smell. That's the joke. That's the kind of quality we're working with here. Yeah, to have someone like that talented and then just be like, yeah, but it's kind of what they're doing, though. They're shitting all over Cabaret and everything that it was about. So that makes sense that they would do this.
That's so sad.
So at this point in the movie, the rich guy who's at the club every day and is trying to buy it and orders the same thing every day, your best champagne.
Yeah.
Just say the name. You know what it is.
Yeah, like you've had it 97 times.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen the bottle at one point. You probably know what it's called.
But she's hanging out with him and at one point he says, oh, I just had to stop off at this party real quick. And again, it must be 4 in the morning because it's after she's done at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bit of like everyone says, oh, hey, thanks for inviting us. And she goes, wait, this is your party? Which I've seen in like 6 other terrible movies.
I just have to stop by.
I'm so rich. I have parties where I don't even show up to.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell I'm big time.
He must have staff to like let everyone in and start partying. Because, like, how do you, like, when we have a party, back when we could have parties.
We had parties?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you mean that time, like, 5 people came over?
Yeah.
4 years ago?
But, yeah, you kind of have to be there.
Not me. I'm going to just talk to people like, oh, I had to swing by this thing real quick. And then you'll be like, Andy, where the hell were you?
I have been slaving getting all the food and stuff together. Where have you been?
No big deal. I'm just heading out.
Is that how you're going to approach our wedding?
Yep.
You're like, I just have to like swing by this event.
Yeah.
Is your
wedding... some lady in a wig.
Yeah. And they'll be like, Andy, we were supposed to get married 30 minutes ago.
I'll be there when I'm there, you know. Hey. I'm a rich guy. Although he's not even that smug about it.
No, he just seems...
kind of seems like a decent guy.
He just, like, does his job.
Yeah.
He has to buy land in order to develop it, which is his job title, developer.
And so because she has gone out to parties with him a couple of times after working all late, even though everyone goes out,
mm-hmm.
she just goes to a different place. the premise that the movie posits is that she is out of control now.
Yes.
This movie, like a bunch of it seems like it was written by someone very young. Not like,
yeah.
I'm a new screenwriter, I'm only 25, but like a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Because the sense of danger of this movie, in comparable movies you have, like in Chicago, there's a murder. In Cabaret, well, in Cabaret, there's like Nazis. So there's like real actual danger.
Yeah.
In this one, it's a world where everyone is really worried about her because she's gone out after work a few times.
So
she's never been late to work. She's not missing anything, but she goes out and gets a ride home and then like swings by a party on her way home.
Yeah.
Even though they're all getting out at 3 a.m.
Yeah, so
on
when
a
you
Wednesday.
Work until 3 a.m. and you go do something after work. It's not unrealistic that you might get home at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, but they all go out.
Yes. So it's like, why are you worried about this one person? It's because they don't like Marcus.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does seem super young.
But it's the central problem of the movie at this point. It's like, we're all so worried about you. How dare you do this? It's just fabricated conflict.
Yeah.
But it also applies to Veronica Mars because she just has like one more drinks than the others. And it's like, oh, she's a full-blown addict now.
Yeah, she's walking
around. It's like she
around.
Has a heroin addiction.
Yeah, she's walking around with like a whiskey.
Dancing with Sweet Lady H. It's like she's chasing the dragon every night or something.
I don't know what these mean.
It's like she's just banging rails up her nose all night long.
That's cocaine, I know.
Oh,
that.
You got that.
Yeah, so it's like everyone's more worried about Allie than Nikki. And Nikki is literally having like four drinks a night and is still doing her job.
Yeah. We don't even see Allie drink.
No.
Does she have a drink ever?
I don't think so.
She may have like one.
I think
here
she
and
has
there.
Like a champagne or something at right. the party.
Right.
Maybe.
And then the other big conflict is the one dancer is pregnant and she's like, I don't know what to do. And she's in tears. How's it end up? Turns out that the guy that impregnated her wants to marry her and is super rich and she lives a great life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's nothing threatening about this movie. Everything's just fine.
And she gets to go back to dancing after she has the baby. So she's, like, winning in all fields.
Yeah. All of these dancers are super rich. Mm-hmm. They must be getting paid a lot, too. Maybe that's why the club's not doing well.
Maybe they're, like, overpaying their dancers.
Everyone's getting paid, like, 60 grand a year.
Yeah. I know that, like, sex education in the States is bad, but like, do you not know about pregnancy at all? Am I just like overeducated in that field?
Because what do you mean?
She like seems to think that like morning sickness only happens in the morning. And like, she's like so confused by being pregnant and like has never had a like constructive conversation about like what happens if you have sex in your relationship with the man that she like eventually marries.
I think she's just an idiot.
Yeah.
But then again, we've watched a few reality shows, and each time there's people who have no form of birth control and then are shocked when someone's pregnant.
Yes, you're right.
I think people are just dumb.
Calling you out, 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah. But yeah, I just think that like maybe we're lucky we live in Canada because I know quite a bit about having babies.
You say you're a real pro on it, huh?
No.
I don't think that's a Canadian-American thing. I think that's a dummy thing.
Okay, yeah. I also, like, have a background in early learning, so I think that one of the classes I took was, like, prenatal and postnatal care. So Cher gets mad at Allie about seeing Marcus.
Right, and she says, you need to watch out for people using you.
Oh, and Christina Aguilera knows how to do her makeup now.
Right.
And then Allie storms off and Cher goes downstairs and the sound guy's been like waiting for her to rehearse this track for hours.
That's one of my favorite bits. So it must be like 5 a.m.
Oh,
now
yeah,
because everybody's
be.
Gone after. And that DJ is just sitting up there like, oh, I have that song for tomorrow. So they've never rehearsed it once. They're going to perform it tomorrow.
She just got her track music for it today.
Yeah.
And he's like been waiting around for her to rehearse it.
And I feel like this was contractually in there because Cher was like, well, if she gets like this many songs, I need some solos. And she had the solo at the beginning and has just been kind of sitting around in the Cher lair since. So she's like, I need a song. I want to be up there don't put me on stage with any of the dancers because my lower half doesn't move anymore. I don't want to be near them. I want to say, like, yeah, put the spotlight on me, because they make a point of saying spotlight. Spotlight is a dim glow from a cell phone.
A dim blue light. Yeah. She's like a Barbie from the waist down.
Yeah.
She's just got, like, hard little legs that don't really bend at the knee. So she sings this song.
Which is quite bad.
It's very dramatic, because it's all blue lit.
And why would they be doing, like, super sad songs at this cabaret burlesque house?
And we never actually see her do it in front of an audience.
No.
So Cher leaves after rehearsing her song once.
And who did she meet in the parking lot?
Kristen Bell. Drunk Nikki.
Yeah. And we get this insight because Veronica Mars says, you and I built this club together, but now you're forgetting about me. I didn't know that.
No.
Then I'm kind of on Veronica Mars' side.
Yeah.
That she's been the lead performer and she built this, like, she was the originator along with Cher, and now she's being, like, thrown to the side because someone can sing.
Yeah, that's sad then.
Also, Anna can sing.
Yeah.
She's pretty great.
She's a Disney princess. Yeah. Like, let's remember that she has, like, a movie deal with Disney where she sings every single movie.
But then Cher's response to this is just like, so what? You're a drunk. So the takeaway is like, yeah, we've been friends for a long time. We started a business together, but now you drink? Fuck you.
Yeah. Also, Cher is like constantly drunk on tequila.
Yeah, that's right.
Cher has a drink in like almost every scene in the club.
Everyone there, they bring a tray of drinks to all the girls.
Also, like, I've worked in bars and restaurants and it's like, yeah, you it's part of the culture. It's part of the culture and it just happens. And as long as you can still do your job and you're not like slurring your words, you're fine.
You sound like a little bit of an enabler. Part of the culture.
It is part of the culture.
Sounds like something the Nazis would say.
Don't call me a Nazi.
Sounds like something the Klan would say.
Don't call me part of the KKK.
Sounds like something an alcoholic cabaret dancer would say.
I'm going to ignore the first part and just say that you called me a dancer.
I'm not calling you that. We're talking about what's her name?
And Veronica Mars. Okay, so Nikki's drunk, she quits, and then says, I slept with your husband the day after your honeymoon, and Cher tire irons the window of her convertible.
Yeah. Also, I think that was like a BMW Z3, but that's an expensive car.
That is an expensive car. Also, in LA, in this like seedy part of town, they just leave their convertibles open, like their tops down.
Whoa, this is the Sunset Strip, baby.
Okay, baby.
But because the joke being that they say they're on the Sunset Strip, you can look at it. It's not near the Sunset Strip.
No, it looks like off strip in Vegas where it's like kind of seedy and like there's lots of homeless people around. Georgia, pregnant Georgia, gets married to this rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a super great time. It's the first time we kind of see them all not working and just kind of like interacting. And then the roommates, Allie and
Jack,
I was going to say bartender guy, go home and they...
Because he got a call and he broke up with his girlfriend, fiance, over the phone.
Yes. So he's like, I'm single. I have this hot blonde roommate who owns like 1,000 wigs and I'm going to get with her tonight.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like a, oh, I'm broken up now, so now this is happening.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, is she interested in me? It's like, I'm able to now, let's go.
He's like, okay, cool. And he's like, girl, right there, she's mine.
Yeah.
So.
But you had to tell everyone how this comes about.
Yes.
The magic pajamas.
Magic pajamas?
Yeah.
So. They get home. Christina Aguilera gets into her like little bed thing that she sleeps in. It's just kind of a couch.
Oh yeah, they keep going back and forth about who sleeps in the bed.
Yeah, so right now she's on the couch and she's still wearing her skin tight strapless dress and her wig, and she gets fully into bed and the roommate's like, okay, good night, and then he goes into the room, the bedroom, and puts on this like two-piece pajama set that you'd get from your grandma for Christmas.
With feet.
And then comes out in this, and she laughs, and he's like, my mom gave this for me.
I think he's coming out to try to catch her naked.
I think so.
It seems like that was the bit.
And she's still in bed, fully dressed in her dress. And he comes out.
She's not taking her clothes off because, like, this guy keeps trying out, trying to catch her.
So he locks the door and he comes back in. Into the bedroom, and he closes the door. And so then when he opens the door again, like 30 seconds later, Christina Aguilera hasn't had a chance to, like, even move because it's been so quick.
And by 30 seconds, you mean about a second and a half.
Yes. And he's taken off the pajama shirt and is just wearing the pajama pants, and then comes out and he's like, oh, I need some water. So he goes and gets some water. She's laughing. And he goes back in to the bedroom and closes the door and then opens it right away, and he's naked. And he comes out and gets some cookies.
And then he puts the box of cookies in front of his penis and is like, hey, want a cookie? And she's like, oh, you're so charming. I don't know if that laugh was like, you're charming, or I might be raped and murdered.
That was the laugh that I was doing. Because anybody who, like, exposes themselves to you before you, like, consent to it, that's illegal. You shouldn't be doing that.
Also, they haven't so much as kissed by this point. No. And then he just comes out, like, showing his penis.
Yeah.
Because that's romance.
That's romance. That's how you get the girl.
Well, in fact, in this movie, yes, it is. Because then he goes back in, and after all those joke ones, now there's serious music, and now he's put on maybe jeans?
It kind of looked like it's dark.
Different pants. It's regardless. Different pants.
It looked like jeans to me.
He's put on pants, but a different set, and now comes out and then just starts making out with her.
Yeah.
And there's no actual sex scene because this movie is still, like, targeted at young people in a really strange way.
Apparently.
Because I think this must be just like a PG-13 movie, so they can't get away with much, but they're trying to make the situations, like, adult because they're talking about real estate and air rights, which kids don't want to hear, but then they refuse to put anything, like, more dangerous than someone having one drink too many.
So dangerous. So dangerous.
And then after this, she just sings straight up ballads for a while. I don't know why that's in here, but she does have her actual hair, it looked like, in that scene.
Yeah, there's one scene where she has her actual hair, and I wonder if her hair was suffering from being under wigs for, like, 6 weeks.
Maybe it's part of her contract. Like, I want one natural hair scene.
Yeah. It's not a great hairstyle either.
No. But then what they have in place of sex scenes later on is the sequence where she's putting on, like, thigh-high stockings, and he's sitting on the bed wearing, like, a sailor hat with a camera and taking pictures, and she's just putting her stocking on and off. That's what you have instead of a sex scene, and I don't think I need to comment on that. That's just something that happened in this movie.
So sexy. Whew. Sailor hats and stockings.
And then the whole problem of, you're going out too often, and I'm your roommate, I deserve to know where you are? Mm-hmm. I guess that was their problem, but now he showed his penis and she was into it, so then that problem is fixed.
Yes.
The problem that wasn't a problem is now, like, when I say it that way, that's all actually what happens in this movie, but that sounds super regressive that this woman who's doing what she wants and is not doing anything bad, not hurting anyone.
And she's working really hard to make a life she wants.
Yeah.
She left where she lived, where she knew people, and she's, like, working so hard, like, around the clock to be able to, like, dance and sing like she wanted to.
And it's not and she's vilified for that. And it's not until she gets into a more standard and committed relationship with a man who the mother figure approves of that she's truly happy. Mm-hmm. Although he doesn't treat her better than that other guy.
No, because
in fact, he's much more presumptuous and, like, aggressive with her than the other guy was, than the rich guy was.
Yeah. And then his fiance shows up.
Oh, yeah. And says, you don't break up with me over the phone. Who is this whore?
I feel like you don't break up an engagement over the phone.
Right.
I feel like you should probably, like, you probably have some things to talk out.
But then when he kind of reasonably says to Allie, like, give me some time to explain it to her. I just need to talk to her about this. Mm-hmm. She takes that as, like, we're broken up now.
Yeah.
But that's a very reasonable ask. Like, oh, hey, absolutely. I had a long relationship with this woman. I need to, like, set things straight before we can move on.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable.
Yeah. And, like, the crazy ex and stuff. Like, that happens sometimes. And you don't, like, storm out and be like, you jerk.
And then I never understand what time it is in this. Because
there's no sense of time.
Ellie then goes to Tucci's place and he has some dude over and it's morning there. And then they have breakfast. And then Tucci says to the guy, I want to stay for dinner. So like, wait, is it dinner? Is it breakfast?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I feel like it's like brunch time from Stanley Tucci still sleeping when she storms into the house.
I feel like we could break down that whole scene, but let's keep going
because this is a very long episode.
There's this throwaway line that Cher says, which is like maybe my second favorite part of it. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, I do.
So she comes in like, oh, we're going out of business tonight at midnight or something like that. I talked to the vice president of loans. I love that he's called the vice president of loans.
And he denied me.
And she says, he was just sitting there playing with his wooden block. And she's like, what's wooden block? You know that wooden block that those guys have, the wooden block on their table? And he's like, the nameplate on his desk? Yeah, that. Why was that in this movie? What a strange, strange thing.
Yeah, like...
That seems like it's ad-libbed by Cher because they actually filmed the scene and she doesn't know what a nameplate's called.
Yeah.
Because like if you look at Cher talking, she doesn't understand the world.
Say pen. Say...
That wooden block on his desk.
Say, like, Filofax. Say something that's like...
Sorry, what?
Filofax.
Filofax?
Yeah.
You expect everyone to know Filofax.
Yes.
I don't think everyone knows what a Filofax is.
Do you know what a Filofax is?
Is it like a Rolodex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Filofax is more like a date book.
Yeah, and people don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you right now. Maybe that'll be like the poll that comes out on Instagram. Do you know what a Filofax is? But anyways, it's just such a weird inclusion to have all this time about Cher not knowing what a nameplate is.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah.
But then Xtina and Veronica Mars, they're fighting. But then Veronica looks in the mirror and then sees her behind her and is like, okay. And that's it. Their problem is solved now.
Yeah, that's how girl relationships work.
She wanted to kill her this whole time, but then she just looks at her in a mirror and is like, ah, all right.
I can tell you that's not how girl resolution happens.
That's not how humanity happens.
No. Girls will hold a grudge forever if it suits them.
I want to take clips of all the misogynist things you say versus what I say.
No,
I think
you come out
much worse.
I just, like, I have been a girl. I am a girl.
When?
Now. Always.
Oh, wait a minute.
Always. And yeah, when you're really mad at somebody, you just hold a grudge forever.
Damn. I didn't think that was a chromosome-based thing, grudge holding.
Do guys do that?
I don't know. I don't do that. Okay. I cannot speak for all guys. I feel like probably lots of people do.
If we're thinking that someone in junior high wrote this, I think that's where they're getting it from.
It seems like.
It's like high school girls will hate you forever.
So then what's his name? The bartender said like, hey, I wrote this song. Let's do it tonight. And so nobody has ever heard it.
Yeah.
But by that night, he writes it in the morning. That evening, the band knows it.
Mm-hmm.
They've built a giant set piece with like pyrotechnics and electronic giant letters.
So the
All
final
the singers...
number is the one that he wrote.
Yeah.
He's a piano player, but he wrote this song.
Yeah.
Okay.
He writes this piece for a full like 12-piece orchestra.
Three stages.
All the choreography. Three stages. One which seems to just move throughout the thing. So maybe they have moving stages as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've really upgraded
this the club. Would have required like weeks and weeks of practice.
And like $1 million in like renovations for this club.
But they just get it out that night. And that's how the movie ends.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy, I guess.
Oh, we didn't talk about air rights.
Oh, God.
So how do they save the club?
I guess let's go through this real quick because it doesn't matter and it's silly.
And it's done.
They go to this developer who has condos across the street and says, hey, do you have the air rights to this land? And he's like, no, why would I? Some guy's going to build a 40-story building where our club is and it'll block your view. You're real rich. You're James Brolin. James Brolin's in this. You're real rich and James Brolin, so just give us a bunch of money. You can have the air rights so no one can build on this land and you will maintain your view. So then he just gives them all the money for literally air and problem is solved. The solution of this movie literally comes out of thin air.
Yeah. I think a better ending to this would have been the confrontation between Marcus and Cher when she says, like, I sold the air rights. You can't build in the air.
Sure.
The end. And then Marcus being like, what?
Was that Christina Aguilera?
No, that was him being like, what's happening? And then Christina Aguilera would be like starting the number on stage and being really sassy. And maybe she does like a little like air gun and wink.
But I thought they were friends. They got along quite well.
She's mad because he's going to build stuff on land.
He's going to keep doing his job.
Yeah, he's going to buy land and build stuff on it.
Well, and that kind of brings us to the end of this movie.
The end.
Like, there's so many things to, like, just keep talking about. This is probably one of our longest episodes, yeah. But I think it's a lot of fun. Like, this business that's always full has a group of very wealthy regulars.
Everyone's constantly drinking.
7 days a week, they're sold out. The audience knows each performer. Because when certain people come out, they're like, cheer. Hey, you don't do this routine. Oh, there she is. So they've seen it. There's new acts every day. They're on the front page of the newspaper.
The LA Times.
They sell out everywhere, every night, but they're not anywhere close to saving their business. And according to the pregnancy, they've had like over a year to get this money together.
Yeah.
Cher is like the owner, choreographer, and also glues all the costumes together.
Yeah, glued into your costume.
They have 60 dancers, but only two people making all of the costumes and doing all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Tucci deserves more money, whatever he's getting paid.
He is sewing probably 40 costumes a night, I'm going to say. Because they have like new numbers every day, and he has to be sewing like a full cast set of costumes every single night.
Yeah, it's quite the movie.
So in order to not make money in this business, they must be overpaying their dancers and charging like $2 a drink.
I think it's just all the money's going into those sets.
Yeah.
They have new sets every night. They have new costumes every night. That's what it is. Also, Veronica Mars is getting paid a lot because she's driving a BMW.
Right. Maybe she... No, because she was also dating Marcus.
Do you think that's his BMW?
I think he bought it for her. Because he was buying Christina Aguilera, like, Louboutins, and, like, those are, like, $800, $900 shoes.
Sorry, what?
Louboutin.
With a B?
Yeah. Louboutin.
Louboutin?
Yeah. Louboutin.
How do you spell that?
Like they spell
it's not Louis Vuitton?
Oh, no. Louis Vuitton is something different. Louboutin, Christian Louboutin,
is
the red-soled shoes.
Every time you say that, I always thought you were saying Louis Vuitton.
No. Louis Vuitton is the brown bags with the like, the pluses. And,
Louboutin.
Yeah. Louboutin is the red-soled shoes that are like super high and like $1,100 each.
I thought that was the same thing.
No. Two different luxury brands.
This is a world I do not know.
Oh, okay.
Back to this movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is a fun episode. I kind of like it.
I kind of like it.
I want to do more of these. I guess I should be like serious a little bit about why it's bad. Okay. And like screenwriting-wise, what is the journey of these people? So you have a burlesque club that starts with singing, but then they're like, we don't sing here. But then they end up singing.
Yeah.
That's not a journey.
No. That's or just like a change of protocol.
What is like Aguilera's journey? Like you have small town to big city, which is...
That's a journey.
But then...
But that's
it's
done
like,
in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
I love singing, but I want to be a dancer. But now I'm a singer. I don't really get what it was there. And then the bartender's like, I want to write songs, but I've never tried to write a song. And then I try to write it, and then it's pretty good and people like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty... lackluster?
Yeah, they're lackluster journeys. Nobody really like thinks big, and everyone kind of just gets what they want anyway.
Yeah.
Without them having to like work for it.
I wish the solution wasn't the air rights thing. I wish it was like, now we're going to change from this lip sync club to like a real full-on cabaret. I keep saying cabaret because it's not burlesque, it is in fact cabaret, but we're going to change to like a real club where it's going to be live music and real singing. That's a journey. And then they do so well in that. And they should have been struggling at the beginning.
Yeah.
They were sold out all the time in the beginning.
Yes.
So it's just really bad screenwriting. But all that being said, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
It's terrible.
It made the like 15-year-old like dancer in me very happy because it was like, it was splashy and it was fun and there was dancing and there was routines and it was glittery. And I don't know how I didn't see this when it came out.
I think because it wasn't very good.
I think I was too old at that point, too. Like, I graduated in 2006, so I was already, like, in my 20s, and I wasn't dancing anymore at that point.
And 20-year-olds wouldn't want to see this.
No, because...
It's beneath them.
We understand what air raids are.
Yeah. That's why you would want to see it. Oh, no. Did you hear about that new air rights movie coming out?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
There was a few things you asked me after watching that we actually spoke a little bit about it. And I kept saying, save it for the podcast. But I don't remember what those things are.
No, me neither.
But we were both talking about how this is a movie with a lot of like gorgeous women wearing very little.
Oh, yes. How this is the least sexy movie ever made.
Nothing sexy about it. And I don't know what it is.
Like Christina Aguilera, like her whole thing later in her career was how sexy she was. And like,
she was a genie in the bottle. You gotta rub her the right way.
Yes, exactly.
That's right, right?
Yeah.
This is the lyrics?
Yeah.
I think that's the only song.
Kristen
I know.
Bell, very good looking woman. Julianne Hough, who plays Georgia. She is like a professional dancer who is like extremely beautiful. And
Cher, who has the bones of many beautiful women grafted inside her face now.
But never at any point was I ever like, oh, this is like a sexy moment.
No, me neither.
No.
And the outfits, like when you look at them, they are objectively sexy, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Nothing. This movie wasn't sexy.
No, this was probably the least sexy movie I have seen.
Whoa. Remember when we watched The Lighthouse?
Oh, right. That was very unsexy. No,
Mac and Me?
This was the least sexy movie that had a very sexy premise.
Sure, sure.
Like, yeah. I felt nothing.
When you're comparing it to something like Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago was sexy.
Yeah.
And you get that feeling
and
from
almost
it.
Chicago's like less overt almost.
Yeah.
But it's
but
there.
It's two very beautiful actresses doing sexy dances and it's like, yeah, this is sexy. I can see like the sex appeal in this. This movie had zero sex appeal.
I'd agree with
and
that.
And it had a cast of incredibly beautiful women somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Well, you did have Alan Cummings smell like a woman's crotch, so at least you got that.
So sexy. Okay, well, we watched Burlesque, and we were very unfulfilled by it. So we want to hear what you thought. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at ILTYS and the number 2. You can find us on Facebook at I Love This You Should 2-Podcast. And you can find us on our email at I Love This You Should and the number 2 at gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. Was this the sexiest movie you've ever seen? Was it the most confusing movie you've ever seen? Do you worry about Christina Aguilera and how much pain she's in when she sings? Tell us.
So then overall, though, what do you think? Should people watch it? Assuming they haven't already, is this worth watching?
I think you should watch it, but you should go in knowing that this is not a serious movie and you're probably going to have a lot of thoughts after. So maybe watch it with a friend so that you can talk about it later.
I think that's the only redeeming thing about it is that we got to do this.
Yes.
If I just had to watch this and then that was it, I would be pretty upset that I wasted 2 hours
yeah.
of my life. But for all the silliness that you get to talk about and just having someone there with you to be like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
It's worth it. I think it's a fun movie to watch. So I would recommend it. Is it good? No, God, no.
No, no.
It's terrible.
No,
but
no.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope we do more movies like this.
We'll see.
Because with like Leap Year, there's nothing fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad and joyless. This is bad and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we came to that consensus.
Well, join us again next week where we will each have a spoiler-free review with our thing of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to tell you what movie we're going to be watching for the week after that.
I'm excited. I think I know what it is.
Maybe I'll surprise you.
Oh, okay. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.